The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is Father John Zolsdorf and another podcast. We welcome as our guest today Pope Benedict XVI. He gave an address to bishops of the United States from regions 4 to 6 during their ad liminal visit, and it's an important speech. It's jam-packed, it's memorable, and we're going to drill into it. So let's get right to work. On the 19th of January 2012, Pope Benedict gave an address to the bishops of regions 4, 5, and 6 in the United States. They are on their ad liminal visits right now. This was Pope Benedict's second major discourse to U.S. bishops during their ad limina visits. In this address, Pope Benedict dealt with freedom of religion and the grave threats to the Church's public moral witness presented by radical secularism, which finds increasing expression in the political and cultural spheres. I'm going to read for you the full text of this important, memorable address. I think every Catholic in the United States could benefit from this, even though it's really an address directed to bishops who are sitting in the room with the Pope. But he's really talking about you, and he's going to make it clear what he thinks you, dear listener, should be doing. So in this address, as I read it, tune your ears to listen for a few things. For example, he makes a reference to nature and nature's God. Well, this is in the first paragraph, of course, of the Declaration of Independence. The Pope speaks about mystery and the transcendent. I think this is a key to understanding something of the direction and the vision of the Pope's pontificate and his interest in liturgical worship. He doesn't talk about liturgical worship here, but I think that there's a way in which it underlies most of what the Pope is talking about, and I'll get into that later. Listen for references to freedom of worship over and against freedom of religion. These are not the same concepts. Listen for how the Pope speaks of every level of the Church's life. That means you, of course. When the Pope speaks about intrinsically evil acts, he's not just talking about abortion, but he's talking about all intrinsically evil acts, and that includes homosexual acts. Listen for his reference to human rights. This is a concept that's being distorted even by many Catholics in the public square right now. The Pope talks about Catholics being well informed so that they can make a difference in society. Here now is the text of Pope Benedict's address to bishops of the United States from regions 4, 5, and 6. Dear Brother Bishops, I greet all of you with fraternal affection, and I pray that this pilgrimage of spiritual renewal and deepened communion will confirm you in faith and commitment to your task as pastors of the Church in the United States of America. As you know, it is my intention in the course of this year to reflect with you on some of the spiritual and cultural challenges of the new evangelization. One of the most memorable aspects of my pastoral visit to the United States was the opportunity it afforded me to reflect on America's historical experience of religious freedom, and specifically, the relationship between religion and culture. At the heart of every culture, whether perceived or not, is a consensus about the nature of reality and the moral good, and thus about the conditions for human flourishing. In America, that consensus, as enshrined in your nation's founding documents, was grounded in a worldview shaped not only by faith, but a commitment to certain ethical principles deriving from nature and nature's God. Today, that consensus has eroded significantly in the face of powerful new cultural currents, which are not only directly opposed to core moral teachings of the Judeo-Christian tradition, but increasingly hostile to Christianity as such. For her part, the Church in the United States is called, in season and out of season, to proclaim a gospel which not only proposes unchanging moral truths, but proposes them precisely as the key to human happiness and social prospering. Confer Gaudium et Spes, paragraph 10. To the extent that some current cultural trends contain elements that would curtail the proclamation of these truths, whether constricting it within the limits of a merely scientific rationality or suppressing it in the name of political power or majority rule, they represent a threat not just to Christian faith, but also to humanity itself, and to the deepest truth about our being and ultimate vocation, our relationship to God. When a culture attempts to suppress the dimension of ultimate mystery and to close the doors to transcendent truth, it inevitably becomes impoverished and falls prey, as the late Pope John Paul II so clearly saw, to reductionist and totalitarian readings of the human person and the nature of society. With her long tradition of respect for the right relationship between faith and reason, the Church has a critical role to play in countering cultural currents which, on the basis of an extreme individualism, seek to promote notions of freedom detached from moral truth. Our tradition does not speak from blind faith, but from a rational perspective which links our commitment to building an authentically just, humane, and prosperous society to our ultimate assurance that the cosmos is possessed of an inner logic accessible to human reasoning. The Church's defense of a moral reasoning based on the natural law is grounded on her conviction that this law is not a threat to our freedom, but rather a language which enables us to understand ourselves and the truth of our being, and so to shape a more just and humane world. She thus proposes her moral teaching as a message not of constraint, but of liberation, and as the basis for building a secure future. The Church's witness, then, is of its nature public. She seeks to convince by proposing rational arguments in the public square. The legitimate separation of Church and State cannot be taken to mean that the Church must be silent on certain issues, nor that the State may choose not to engage or be engaged by the voices of committed believers in determining the values which will shape the future of the nation. In the light of these considerations, it is imperative that the entire Catholic community in the United States come to realize the grave threats to the Church's public moral witness presented by a radical secularism which finds increasing expression in the political and cultural spheres. The seriousness of these threats needs to be clearly appreciated at every level of ecclesial life. Of particular concern are certain attempts being made to limit that most cherished of American freedoms, the freedom of religion. Many of you have pointed out that concerted efforts have been made to deny the right of conscientious objection on the part of Catholic individuals and institutions with regard to cooperation in intrinsically evil practices. Others have spoken to me of a worrying tendency to reduce religious freedom to mere freedom of worship without guarantees of respect for freedom of conscience. Here once more we see the need for an engaged, articulate, and well-formed Catholic laity endowed with a strong critical sense vis-à-vis the dominant culture and with the courage to counter a reductive secularism which would delegitimize the Church's participation in public debate about the issues which are determining the future of American society. The preparation of committed lay leaders and the presentation of a convincing articulation of the Christian vision of man and society remain a primary task of the Church in your country. As essential components of the new evangelization, these concerns must shape the vision and goals of catechetical programs at every level. In this regard, I would mention with appreciation your efforts to maintain contacts with Catholics involved in political life and to help them understand their personal responsibility to offer public witness to their faith, especially with regard to the great moral issues of our time: respect for God's gift of life, the protection of human dignity, and the promotion of authentic human rights. As the Council noted, and I wished to reiterate during my pastoral visit, respect for the just autonomy of the secular sphere must also take into consideration the truth that there is no realm of worldly affairs which can be withdrawn from the Creator and His dominion. Gaudium et Spes, paragraph 36. There can be no doubt that a more consistent witness on the part of America's Catholics to their deepest convictions would make a major contribution to the renewal of society as a whole. Dear Brother Bishops, in these brief remarks, I have wished to touch upon some of the pressing issues which you face in your service to the gospel and their significance for the evangelization of American culture. No one who looks at these issues realistically can ignore the genuine difficulties which the Church encounters at the present moment. Yet in faith, we can take heart from the growing awareness of the need to preserve a civil order clearly rooted in the Judeo-Christian tradition, as well as from the promise offered by a new generation of Catholics whose experience and convictions will have a decisive role in renewing the Church's presence and witness in American society. The hope which these signs of the times give us is itself a reason to renew our efforts to mobilize the intellectual and moral resources of the entire Catholic community in the service of the evangelization of American culture and the building of the civilization of love. With great affection, I commend all of you and the flock entrusted to your care to the prayers of Mary, Mother of Hope, and cordially impart my apostolic blessing as a pledge of grace and peace in Jesus Christ our Lord. That was Pope Benedict's address to bishops from the United States during their ad liminal visit. They're from regions 4, 5, and 6. Now, I want to return to a few points. First of all, people are more and more talking about human rights as a common point of reference for their own positions, their own the thing that they are pushing. For example, some people who want same-sex unions, marriage, so to speak, try to frame this in light of human rights. Well, they are misusing, or at least misunderstanding, what human rights are. They are not understanding that human rights are grounded in what God has made. Civil rights, legislated by man, do not alter what God has made and how God made it. Civil rights must reflect what God has written into our being as human beings, as images of God. And for more on this, you might want to review Pope Benedict's address to the UN General Assembly, where he talks about human rights, and in his 2007 message for the World Day of Peace, and many other addresses too. But you might just use those as a starting point. About this issue of freedom of worship, replacing the concept of freedom of religion. This freedom of worship language is being used to undermine the church's role in the public square. If we have freedom of religion, then we have the freedom, the right to express views based on our religion, based on our religious convictions, based on the doctrine which our church teaches. But if we only have freedom of worship, just freedom of worship, then we are restricted to the private sphere. We are free to do what we want to do in our churches on Sunday or in our homes for our private devotions. We're free to worship, but we're not free to do that in the public square. See, the public sphere and religion are being separated by the critics of the church and the critics of the church's message, those who oppose what the church teaches. So when you listen to news coverage of politicians talking about social issues and the issue of religion comes up or religious freedom comes up, keep your ears open for how they talk about freedom. If they start talking about freedom of worship rather than freedom of religion, alarm bells should go off, and you should seriously consider taking some kind of action and making your voice heard to your representative or your senators or whomever it is who you heard talking about this. Remember, we need freedom of religion, not just freedom of worship. Now, the Pope talked about mystery and transcendence, though he didn't dwell on that much in his speech. Nevertheless, I think these two concepts underlie most of what Pope Benedict is doing substantively in his pontificate when it comes to our identity as Westerners or as Europeans or as Americans, especially as Catholics. We cannot be Catholic unless we attend to the transcendent. We can't be even truly human unless we attend to the transcendent. That is God. This is why we have to have a renewal of our liturgical worship. And this is why I think Pope Benedict is giving us examples for our liturgical worship in his own papal ceremonies, and why he gave us the extremely important Summorum Pontificum. And we have to always go back to these provisions of Summorum Pontificum and then the explanation that those provisions obtained in the instruction from the Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei, which is under the Congregation for Doctrine of the Faith now, in the document called Universi Ecclesiae. We cannot do any of the things that the Pope talked about in this address to the bishops unless we have a renewal of our liturgical worship, because our liturgical worship is the thing which shapes us most as Catholics. We have to have an eye on the transcendent. We have to have an encounter with the transcendent, an encounter with mystery in our liturgical worship. That's the place where we encounter these things principally. It shapes us who we are. We cannot be Catholic without our liturgical worship. And if we aren't really Catholic with a strong Catholic identity, then we have no way really to make an impact as Catholics in the public square. If we don't know who we are and we aren't shaped in this proper way, especially through our liturgical worship of God, we cannot make a proper contribution in the public square as Catholics. If we have a horizontally minded worship which closes us in ourselves, we cannot be truly Catholic. And I don't think we can't realize even just our merely human potential, because we're cutting ourselves off from something which is absolutely essential to who we are as images of God. This transcendent dimension of the transcendent and of mystery is essential to our Catholic identity and our church at every level. Our worship of God and our encountering Him in worship is essential to who we are. We cannot know who we are without this. So we have to have a renewal of our Catholic worship, and that means a rethinking of just about everything, I think, that we're doing. I urge all priests and bishops who may be listening to this to consider very, very carefully how we are approaching and fostering proper worship, our liturgical worship. And I would ask you to do all in your power, everything that you can do to foster, influence a worship of God which conforms not to worldly goals, but to the real point of religion, and that is an encounter with mystery, with that which is transcendent. We have to be more and more focused in our worship on the one who is other rather than on ourselves. And this is going to be very difficult in some cases because people are, shall we say, used to horizontally oriented, self-enclosed, self-sufficient worship, which doesn't open ourselves to the challenge of what happens in an encounter with the transcendent, with mystery, something which is tremendum, you know, which shakes us down to our very being. When you start renewing your worship along the lines of the transcendent and of mystery, you're going to get some real opposition. But I think we absolutely have to do this. We have to have a worship which absolutely stuns us, which leaves us thunderstruck, which brings us to a point of awe. And this means beauty, and this means also the apophatic dimension of worship, where there is silence also, and there is stillness, which can shake us away from things that can distract us from what is mysterious and what is transcendent. So, you priests and you bishops out there, if you're listening to this, think about our liturgical worship. Review carefully what it is you may be doing so that we can have a renewal of our Catholic identity, because it is within our liturgical worship that we are primarily shaped as Catholics and as Christians, and to a very important level, and as human beings, as images of God. Because we cannot be truly human and truly Catholic without that encounter with the transcendent, with mystery, with God. I'm going to wrap this up. Please visit at the blog, wdtprs.com. That's Whiskey Delta Tango Papa Romeo Sierra.com. Another address you could use is fatherzonline.com. That's Father spelled out FatherZonline.com. You could just Google Father Z too. You're going to find me pretty quickly that way. Participate at the blog. There are polls. There are discussions. There's an awful lot to read. I try to post quite a bit every day, and use those social networking sharing buttons too for Facebook and Twitter. Get involved. Get involved in the blog and help other people get involved too. And until next time, please pray for me as I will for you.